Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Mid-Morning Show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Yusuf, every Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. Today being the 17th of Rabi'ul Awwal 1447, corresponding to Wednesday the 10th of September 2025. It's a beautiful day here in Johannesburg, Indonesia. Alhamdulillah, it's gone 60 minutes past the 10 Central African time. Today, inshallah, we're going to be discussing the ihsan. What is ihsan? And the Arabic term, or what we know it as, the sunnah of excellence. Going and above, beyond our actions, for the sake of Almighty Allah. In this dunya, in this world, we all strive, and I repeatedly say that, you know what, this world is temporary and we need to strive for our akhirat. And when, like yesterday, we were discussing about the bounties and the wealth and how we should look at it. We should look at it as the ni'mah or an amanat that has been given to us by Almighty Allah. And everything in this world that comes into this world has its owner, has its malik, and that is Almighty Allah. Now, we all strive to be a good person in this world, try to do good actions. Yes, we falter, yes, we sin, but we're always trying our level best to be each and every day a better person. And that is our aim, to try and be a better person each and every day. But what does this mean to be excellent? We do this, you know, you get three types. You get good, better, best. Now we try our level best, but how can we be excellent in what we do? It's not just doing about the right thing. It's about doing the right thing with ikhlas, with sincerity, and doing it with a full heart. That's why whenever we go, we do anything, we say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We start in the name of Almighty Allah. And also, we should correct our intention with everything that we do. We must have this intention that we are doing this solely for the purpose of Almighty Allah. And inshallah, with the barakah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, things will go in place and will fall into place in our favor. Now, let us understand the different aspects of ihsan and how can we perfect our ibadat, our work, and also our relationships. And that's not only with the physical person relationship, but rather to fix our relationship with Almighty Allah. Now, once we fix our relationship in private with Almighty Allah, Allah Ta'ala will fix our relationship and fix our affairs in public. Hasbun Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. Now, to truly understand the foundation of ihsan, or the sunnah, for the sunnah of excellence, we need to understand, or we must go to the source, and let us go to the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, where Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the iman. You know, there was an incident when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came in a form of a human form, but no one knew who he was. Only Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew. And he was dressed, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, was dressed in such an attire that the people of Medina did not know who it was, and it was the first time that he seen him. And he put his knees, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam put his knees next to, or it was touching Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one of the questions that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, define faith, or define what is iman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that it is to worship Almighty Allah as if you see him. For if you do not see him, he surely sees you. And this, with this being said, we must also understand and we must realize that everything that we do in this world, every action that we do, we have the angels that record our deeds, be it the good and the bad. We must always remember that Almighty Allah is ever seen, all knowing. Even if in our hearts, whatever we want to do, Allah Ta'ala already knows that intention, that this banda, this servant of mine, is going to do a certain action. Now it is you as a person. Because you must remember, jinnat and creation, makhluk, have free will. Only malaika and angels do not have free will. They only do what Almighty Allah commands them to do. Now, when we want to do something, it's a battle between shayateen and shaitan with his waswasa if we want to do a good deed. When we want to go to the masajid or we want to open the Quran, and I'm not advocating this in any way or any form, but if there's a football match and if it's a time for Maghrib Salat, you will get that waswasa in your ear. Shayateen, the shaitan, will come in and say, you know what, we can read your Maghrib Salah later. That is that waswasa that is playing in your ear. But that is when we need to fight our nafs, we need to fight shaitan, we need to fight Iblis and say, you know, my salah comes first. And that's what angers shaitan, because it is human nature. If we say we're going to read later, do we actually read it later? Because then we forget. We forget about it. So that's why it is important, it's imperative that when it is a time for salah, we should go and we should read it on time. We should not delay it. Now, with regards to that meeting of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when he was asked what is or define faith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, it is to worship Almighty Allah as if you see him, for if you do not see him, he surely sees you. This is the cornerstone of our discussion. It's a definition with the two profound parts. The first is the highest level of ibadat and worship with such love and such humility, such khushuf, you know, that we have that love, that when we make our salah, we block off everything. We read in the Quran, we read in the kitab, the hadith, you know, the hayatul sahaba, or any fazail amal, or any kitab that we want to read. You know when you read something intensely, you block off everything that's surrounding you. Just like that, we must have that intense love when we're reading our salah. And when we say Allahu Akbar, we negate and we say everything when around us is blocked out. It is only you and Almighty Allah. You are standing there with your hands folded in humility, your head bowing down, and you start reciting Surah Fatiha. That is such a beautiful dua. Surah Fatiha is the opener. But look how important it is that it is mentioned. Without reciting Surah Fatiha, your salah is not valid. You just can't start by saying Allahu Akbar and start reading a surah. No. It is Surah Fatiha, the opener, for a reason. And we all know the English translation, and we are imploring Almighty Allah. We are saying, Thee alone do we worship and Thee alone do we ask for help. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. And this is the cornerstone of our discussion. And we must understand that when the highest level is to worship and make ibadat with such love and such awe that you feel that you're in a very presence of Almighty Allah. And you know, just to put you in the picture, imagine when you're making your salah, right? And for those that have been to Makkah al-Mukarramah, close your eyes and just picture that you are standing in front of Baytullah. How much of respect, how much of dignity, and when you're reading your salah, you know you are standing in one of the holiest places in Islam, the Kaaba, the house of Allah, Baytullah. You are standing there. You know, you can't, you read your namaz, you read your salah with such humility, but then you must close your eyes and you think, I'm standing in front of Baytullah. Obviously, you can't close your eyes and read your salah. it's not recommended only for concentration purposes, but just before you start your salah, just imagine that you are standing in front of Baytullah and you're reading your salah. How much better will our salah improve? We will be standing there knowing that we are in Baytullah. So just like that, this is the khushu and the feeling that we must have when we're reading our salah. Imagine that we are standing, because Allah Ta'ala is all seen. Imagine that you are standing in front of Almighty Allah. And the second part, which is a reality for most of us, is to act with the absolute certainty, and we must know and for a fact that Almighty Allah is watching us. Every single thing that we do, before we do something, we put it in front of us that my Allah is watching. Look at the story of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. When the king's wife tried to seduce him, he was handsome. He was beautiful at the time that the king's wife wanted to seduce him because of his beauty. But what he said, my Allah is watching me, is mentioned in the Noble Quran in Surah Yusuf. And look at it, he had the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had such fear and such tawakkul, and had that fear in Almighty Allah. Yes, they were Nabis, they were Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. They never sinned, but they made mistakes. You must remember that. They made mistakes, but Allah Ta'ala forgave them. And it is an absolute act with absolute that certainty that Allah Ta'ala is watching us, everything we do. This mindset is what elevates a simple action into an act of excellence. And it is a reminder that no good deed is ever unseen, even when we go, like I was mentioning yesterday, that when we're giving a beggar, or we're giving sadaqah, give it with the intention that Allah, now we give it with the intention that, Ya Allah, I'm giving the sadaqah in your path. Don't think that 1 rand, 2 rand is going to make your pocket smaller. Allah Ta'ala will bless you with more. Think of a dedicated craftsman. When somebody is designing something in a workshop, and a client comes in and says, you know what, I want to build a certain thing made out of wood. Or even, for example, the client comes in and says, I want a certain sofa or want a lounge suite. So the craftsman asks, okay, what type of wood do you want? And what design do you want? Then he brings out a sketch and he says, this is the type of design I want, and I want this to be done, want this to be done. The person or the craftsman doesn't do, like what we will say, latas or a sloppy job, but he does it to such a perfection. He does it with such art and such intensity that he puts all his dedication into that art, into that work, knowing that the client is coming, while the client is paying him. So just like this, Allah Ta'ala will reward us in the akhirat with our salah that we do. Just think about it. If we read our salah with humility, will we not get the same, will we get the reward? That's why it's important that wudu is a key to salah and salah is a key to Jannah. So that's why we must perfect our wudu first also. Sometimes we may miss out one part of it, we forget. Because why? Waswasa, shaitan, is always talking in our ear that this is what you must do, this is what you must do. Reminding you of the worldly things. Even when you're in salah, you're thinking, hey, you know what? It's now 5 to 6, 6:15, I need to go somewhere. Now you want to rush your salah that you don't even get time to read Surah Waqia or Surah Yasin. But why are you rushing when the Creator has created time itself? And Allah Ta'ala has taken a qasam on time. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. This is what Allah Ta'ala meant. Allah Ta'ala says, wal asr, I swear by time, innal insana lafi khusr. Indeed, man is at a loss. We rush for this dunya. We rush for this world. For what? This world is not going to give us anything. People come, people go, but that same sun rises every day on its appointed time. the moon comes out and it waning and waxing. Just recently now we had that lunar eclipse. The sun will rise and the sun will set. People will come and go. But when the person goes, there's no coming back. We must take advantage. Make the dhikr of Allah. Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. Verily, that peace, the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah brings contentment to the heart. And that's what we want. We want peace, contentment in our life. How can we attain that life, that peace in our life when we're not even making that effort, conservative effort, to speak to Almighty Allah? Tell Allah that, Ya Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afya fi dini wa dunya wal akhirah. Ya Allah, you grant me that khushu, you grant me that peace, you grant me that afya in this world and in the akhirat. Now, we were discussing about the craftsman. He did it with perfection, with every detail. He put his heart and soul into making that sofa. Just like that, when we read our salah, we put our heart, we put our soul, we put everything in it for the sake of Almighty Allah. The first place when we strive for ihsan is in our ibadat. Is in our ibadat. And it's easy to go through the emotions of our prayers, of our salah. The fasting, it's like, we mustn't think of it as a norm. That, you know what, we just went through the motion. Oh, you know what, salah is there. We just go, no. The salah is a communication between you and Almighty Allah. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the miraculous journey of Miraj to bring the gift of salah. So we, as his ummah, can speak to Almighty Allah through this salah, to ask Allah that, Ya Allah, this is your needs and desires. Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakil. In our salah, we don't just perform the movements, we strive for khushu. Think of the words you are saying. And also when we read the Quran and we read our surahs, try during the day to read the translation of the dua. How many of us know what we read in our salah? Do we know what is to the surah Wadduha Alam Nashra? Yes, we know the famous verse, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْوُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْوُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With every difficulty there is ease. Allah Ta'ala promised not once but twice. With every difficulty there is ease. But do we understand what are we reading? When we read those du'as, you know that the du'as from what du'a right till Surah Nas. We know Surah Asr, Tabbat Yada. But the surahs, we must try and open the Quran and read the translation so we have a better understanding. When we are reading, we know what we are saying. And a salah that is done with ihsan is not a rushed task, but a moment of true communication with Almighty Allah. Now, when we fast and we're during the month of Ramadan, or we have a Monday, you fast on a Monday and Thursday, you are not doing it just to abstain from sin, abstain from eating and drinking, but you are submitting yourself to the will of Almighty Allah. You are doing it so that the country is concentration and you can gain that reward. You are sacrificing your hunger. You are sacrificing everything for the pleasure of Almighty Allah. That's the mindset that you must have. And when we keep our fast and we're fasting during these days, it is important and it teaches us how to restrain ourselves, how to protect our anger. Because yes, when we're fasting, we generally get upset, we generally get angry. But how can we blame something so beautiful that, like fasting, and then we say, the roza got me. How can you blame the roza? How can you say, no, the fast got me? No, the fasting is such a beautiful thing that the most beloved smell to Almighty Allah is a fasting person, the smell of a fasting person. Imagine, but you want to say the fasting got you. Now, if the fasting keeps us or helps us to guard ourselves, our tongue, and control our anger, and it helps us to make more ibadat to Almighty Allah. You know, we start reading the tasbihat even more. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. It helps us to gain closeness to Almighty Allah. And it helps us to purify our soul, to get rid of the toxins. When you make that ibadat, you are purifying the soul, the nourishing the soul. And that when you get sick, we go to a doctor. The doctor helps us. He says, you know what, take this tablet two tablets three times a day for maybe 2 weeks, 14 days. That is giving the body that nourishment, because now to re-energize the body. But have we ever thought, how can we re-energize our soul? The soul needs nourishing, and the way to nourish the body or the soul is by the remembrance of Almighty Allah. Reading Quran, reading Tilawat of the Quran, making dhikr, you know, sending durood and salawat on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Make abundant astaghfar. Make abundant astaghfar, and you will see how our life will turn around. Things will go better for us. When we, and let's look at in sadaqah and in charity. Don't give what you no longer need. Quran says that you will not attain righteousness until you spend from that which you love. Something that you love that you cannot part with, you will not gain righteousness if you do not part with something that you love, which you are holding an attachment to. Let go of that attachment, and you will see how Allah Ta'ala will grant you even more. Sometimes we look at something and we want it. We want to hold on to it, but we don't realize that Allah Ta'ala is waiting to give us something even better. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala's plan is the best of plans. And we must always remember that. Give it with a kind heart, open heart. Don't hold it. And don't feel that, you know what, your wealth is going to diminish. No. And give it with a smile. And strive to give the best of what you have, knowing that it's going to Allah first. When you're giving with that intention, your action is based on your intention. In the a'mal min niyat. Verily, your action is based on your intention. If you're going to give it with a dirty heart, you think Allah Ta'ala is going to accept it? Give it with a clean heart, with an open heart, knowing that Allah Ta'ala will bless you 10-fold. And let's look at, in our daily, doing ihsan, we're striving for excellence in our daily lives. And the mu'amalat, the actions that we do. Ihsan is not just confined to the masajid or for the women folk at home, but it should be in every aspect of our life. Everything that we do in this world should be with ihsan. We should do it with striving to do the best in what we do. Even at work, our workplace, if we do something, we're given a task to do something, try to go above and beyond and do it a little bit more, push that little bit more effort. It doesn't matter if nobody sees it. Allah Ta'ala is all seen. Allah Ta'ala knows your action, what you are doing. Allah Ta'ala rewards you for your action. And even, like as you mentioned now, in our work and businesses, we strive for integrity and honesty in your profession. A mu'min works with ihsan. He does not cheat. He does not lie. He doesn't try to cut corners to gain his popularity or izzat and respect in the workplace. And remember, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قُدِيرٌ. Honor and disgrace comes to or is given by Almighty Allah. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah Ta'ala grants honor and disgrace to whomsoever He pleases. They deliver the highest quality of work because they know that Allah Ta'ala is watching. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah loves that when one of you does a job and he does it with excellence. This makes every job, no matter how small, an act of ibadat. Once again, we must correct our intention when we do something. When we start the day, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan halalan tayyiban wa amalan mutaqabbala. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa la grant me beneficial knowledge. وَرِزْقًا حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَلَا grant me halal provision. Provision that is pure and wholesome. وَعَمَلًا مُتَقَبَّلًا, and actions which would be accepted. Now, if we do actions at work, we're doing a work, we do it with honesty, we do it at the best, to the best of our ability, knowing that Allah Ta'ala is watching us. Allah Ta'ala is seeing what we are doing. That, my respected listeners, is ihsan. We do it with excellence. We do it knowing that everything that we do, we speak, we talk to people, talk to them with respect, because on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala is going to question us that you spoke to this person with so and so in this tone. Do it with, and that is the heart of a Muslim. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, will always be a rahmatul lil alameen. He came down as a mercy unto mankind, not unto Muslims alone. He was a mercy to mankind. Yet we want to emulate the ways and the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We try to emulate and be and follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let us first be a proper human being. Speak to people with humility. No matter where they come from, their background, speak to them with humility. You know what? That they are there. They exist. Speak to them with humility. Don't worry about their race, color, background, caste, whatever the case is. Talk to them as a human being first. And when it comes to our relationship with our family members, we should treat our family and our loved ones with ihsan. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was best to his family. And be patient with your spouse. And be kind to your children. And be dutiful to your parents. Go beyond the simple fairness to show immense compassion and generosity. You know, as when a child comes to you and he says, "Abba, I want something. You know what you are going through. You know that you don't have it right now, but try to be as patient as possible. That's the thing. We need to have patience. We need to have sabr. Because sometimes the fuses can blow. We say something we're not supposed to say, we didn't want to say. The child gets upset. Try to make the child understand with hikmah, with understanding. And that's how we will gain the child's trust as well. The child will say, "Okay, you know what, my Abba say like this, yeah." He will learn to understand. And with your family members also, try to speak, and even with our parents, they are getting old. They're getting at that age where they become a little bit agitated. You know, it will irritate, it will upset you, but always remember that day when you were at the age, when you were younger and you used to nag, your parents never used to fight with you or shout you or talk to you rudely. They knew, "This is my child." They did it with ihsan. They did it with love. For a mother's love, a father's love to the child, they look at the child with love. Just like that, our parents are getting old now. You need to speak to them with respect. You need to speak to them lovingly. And that, because our spouses you can get again, but your parents are one. Your father is one. Your mother is one. My dear respected listeners, look after them. Cherish them. Nurture them. Because when they're gone, you're going to bang your head. And then when you go to the Kabristan, you're going to say, you want to talk to them, but you can't talk to them. They won't even be able to greet until we meet in the Akhirat, in the Barzakh again. That's the only time we will be reunited with our beloved loved ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq and understanding and allow us to have a good ending, khatima, and allow us to enter Jannatul Firdaws and save us from the azab of the qabr. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And striving for ihsan is a continuous journey of self-improvement for the sake of Almighty Allah. Always remember that whatever we do in life is for the sake of Almighty Allah. We do everything, anything that we do in this world is solely for the pleasure of Almighty Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us on the path of ihsan and sirat al-mustaqeen and grant us the sincerity to perfect our actions for His sake alone. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We make a dua, we make a small dua before we terminate our show. I say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-t-tuqa wal-afwa wal-ghina. Oh Allah, I ask you for guidance, piety, self-restraint and contentment. Say Jazakallah khairan to you, the listener of Marqas Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'a, and from the team of the mid-morning show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Yusuf. Remember, today is Wednesday. Du'as are accepted from Dhuhr to Asr. Remember, our brothers and sisters in Gaza. You know, just yesterday, the apartheid Israeli regime bombed Syria. You know, all the war-torn countries. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. Strive and help them. Allah Ta'ala's mercy descend upon our brothers and sisters in Islam in all the war-torn countries. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, at 11 o'clock will be the news with Maulana Zaid Khan. And thereafter, from 11 to 12, will be the bliss of marriage with Maulana Zaid Khan and Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sahab. 12 o'clock will be the news hour with myself, will be the news. Then 12 to 1 will be the news hour with Brother Alphas and Kosi. Then 1 o'clock will be our Dhuhr Azan. 5 plus 1 to 1:30 will be the surah, the tafsir of Surah At-Tawbah, verses 104. And then the tafsir of Surah Al-Imran, and from 1:30 to 2. 2 to 3 will be the lunch break with Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 4 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A. 4 to 5 will be an Urdu lecture by Qari Hanif Multani. 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of the tafsir that you're going to hear from 5 past 1 to 1:30 of Surah At-Tawbah. 7:30 to 8 will be the Nasiha either by Maulana Dawood Sirat or Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh. Then tonight, inshallah, from 8 to 9 will be myself and Dr. Amin Melrose, and we will be discussing cancer part 2. Cancer, we did cancer in the previous week before Mufti Sahib's tour. Today, inshallah, we're going to do the continuation of cancer, part 2. That will be from 8 to 9, inshallah. And that is your lineup from now until 9 p.m. Bi'amanillah, ma'asalama, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marqas Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.